All right. So, you know, this week, I was, you know, we know we read and we reread Scripture and we reread Scripture. And the Ruach is so good that he'll show you things you've never seen before. Now, maybe what I saw for the first time, maybe you saw it before, but it was the first time I saw it, and it came out of Joshua. So when I was reading it, towards the end of the book of Joshua, he's sending out the 2.5 tribes. The 2.5 tribes had to go in before the other tribes because they were going to go on to the, they were going to go back towards the, where they started, back to over the Jordan, to the land first given to them by Adonai. And Moses says this to him. Hey, Heather, I'm going to let you control the computer today. Thank you. And Joshua 22:5, this is what struck me. Moses says to, Joshua says to the tribes, only be very careful to observe the mitzvah and the Torah, which Moses, the servant of Adonai, commanded you, to have love, to love Adonai your God, and walk in all his ways, and to keep his mitzvot, cling to him, and worship him with all your heart and with all your soul. So what popped out at me? What popped out at me is the instruction to observe the mitzvah and the Torah. Why are they being told to observe both mitzvah of Adonai and the Torah of Adonai? What was the difference between them? And perhaps some of you, like myself, thought, well, they're the same thing. And maybe you just read over it. So I thought I'd do some research on it, and here's what I found. So let's begin with the words and what the words mean, because they're often interchanged by a lot of people. But they actually do have two different meanings. Torah. Torah literally means instruction or teaching. And it's technically the first five books of Scripture. Although, you know, just like what we saw on the scroll just a little bit ago, but it's come to be known as all of the Tanakh, the Torah, the writings, the Proverbs. Thank you, and the writing, the Psalms, and all the stuff there. All right, the mitzvah. Mitzvah literally means commandments, which sounds a lot like instructions, right? We use them interchangeably. It refers to the individual acts or deeds required by the Torah. And I'll be getting into how these two words work together. But for now, think of them as the what, being the Torah, and the how, being the mitzvahs, or mitzvahot. The difference between the Torah and the mitzvah is the Torah is what you follow, and the mitzvah is how you follow. So the Torah tells us to love others, and the mitzvah is the act you do to love others. We are able to know the Torah, to memorize all the instructions, but that's not the same as living out the Torah, doing mitzvahs in order to fulfill the instructions. Now, within the Torah, the first five books of Scripture, we have 613 instructions or mitzvahs. And I saw a breakdown of them, and I don't remember seeing a breakdown like this before. Genesis contains 3 mitzvahs. Exodus has 111. Leviticus has 247, Numbers contains 52, and Deuteronomy has 200. And after Deuteronomy, there are no other new instructions given by Adonai. Not even in the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. Not even by Yeshua himself. After Deuteronomy, what was given to us are examples of how to live out Torah. We cannot do them all, as some of them are for the priests who had those priestly duties at the temple, but some of them are for us. As we read the scriptures, we see the mitzvot being lived out, and we should want to be living them out as well. We cannot live out the ones that are instructions for the priestly actions done within the temple, but we can live out the spirit of even those instructions. Learn from them. For example, the instruction to burn the sacrifice. Well, we can't do that anymore because there's no temple. But we can burn a sacrifice within each of us, doing the mitzvot that we can do, and the good works towards others that we're able to do. We cannot do what we cannot do, but we can live out in our spiritual walk what we cannot do physically. We can remember and honor the mitzvot that we cannot do, and apply the spiritual lessons that they teach us. There are some things that we are to literally do, but there are those things that we cannot do. So we do the next best thing. We remember them and we live them out in a spiritual way. That spiritual teaching that's been given to us is what we live out. As we read through the scriptures, we see that later biblical figures or prophets, that's what I forgot, the prophets, did institute what are called rabbinic requirements, such as reading the scroll of Esther on Purim or lighting the Hanukkah candles. But these are classified differently than the Torah mitzvahs. Just to make things a little bit more confusing, there are what's called the Torah instructions, and there's what's called the instructions of the Torah. Two different things, though. The Torah instructions were given by Adonai to Moses, while the instructions of the Torah are rabbinic instructions that are given within Scripture as a way to remember and follow the Torah and to know the character of the Lord Adonai. For example, the instruction of Purim, which we just all enjoyed, is from the book of Esther. And we read in Esther 9 this, starting in Esther 9:25. But when it came to the king's attention, he issued a written edict that the wicked scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. For this reason, these days were called Purim, from the word pur. Therefore, because of everything in this letter and because of what they had seen and what had happened to them, the Jews established and took upon themselves, upon their descendants, and upon all who joined with them, that they would commemorate the 2 days in the way prescribed and at the appointed time every year. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation, by every family, in every province, in every city. These days of Purim should not fall from among the Jews, nor their remembrance perish from their descendants. Here is the instruction of the rabbis, which we follow today, but they were not Torah instructions. They help us to remember the character of who Adonai is and the way he acts towards us. And they do not take away from Torah, but they add to our remembrances and our heritage as we live out the words of Scripture. We have to understand and know that Scripture will never separate us from Adonai. Regardless where it's located, whether it's the Tanakh or the Brit Hadashah, whether it's the New Covenant or the Old Covenant, it doesn't matter. It won't remove us for any further from Adonai. In fact, it's all made to bring us closer. If we're to break down the difference further, the Torah is the intellectual side, which we find in the instructions of the first five books. The mitzvahs are the physical side, which is the doing of the Torah. Therefore, when Joshua says, only be very careful to observe the mitzvah and the Torah, he's not saying that there are two different books. He's not saying there are two different ways to act. But he is saying to us to know and to do. He's calling the people of Israel and all of us as his people to Shema, to listen and to do. When we are told to go out and be fruitful, what's being said is to go out and perform the mitzvot that you were taught in Torah. The Torah is the tree, while the mitzvah is the fruit. When we look to see who people are, we can't actually see the roots of their trees, but we can see the fruits that they bear. So we know what the roots are based on what the fruit is. So we know if they're good or bad by the fruit, by their mitzvahs. Adonai does not desire or instruct his people to be just students of Torah. And being a student is really good. So I'm not saying don't be a student of Torah. But his desire is for his people to be doers of his word, performing mitzvot, not just to the Lord, but towards others as well. There are some instructions that are just for him. Am I going in and out? No, just me. There's some instructions that are just for him, and as in only to be done at the temple. But his desire is for all to go out and be practitioners of what you studied as students. We should be students, right? It wasn't just me. It's all you who are crazy. I'm kidding. I'm going to go to a little handheld because I don't feel like changing batteries right now. Okay. Adonai does not desire or instruct his people just to be students, right? But his desire is for his people to be doers of the word, performing mitzvot, not just to the Lord, but towards everybody, because that's what his word says to do. So, as I said, there are some instructions that are not just for him. There are some instructions that are just for him, right? We can only do certain things in the temple. But we should never stop being students. We have to be practitioners of it as well. When Adonai gave the instructions to Moses on Mount Sinai, look what we read in Exodus 24. Exodus 24:12 says this, "Then Adonai said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the Torah and the mitzvot, which I have written so that you may instruct them.'" Adonai gave both the instructions and the mitzvot because they were not just to learn the law, but the actions that it takes as well. We're reminded of this in Proverbs 6. Listen for the what and the how in Proverbs 6. I'm going to read verse 20, and then I'm going to skip down to 23. "My son, keep your father's mitzvah and forsake not your mother's teaching. For the mitzvah is a lamp, Torah is a light, and corrective discipline the way of life." Yeshua is the lamp, that which is tangible. And he shows forth the light, the Torah, which can be learned and understood but can't be touched. Scripture teaches us to be like Yeshua, as we are to become the source of the light for those in darkness. Now, of course, the only true source of light is Adonai. But we are to be used as the lamp. And you may think of it as a reflecting tool. You may be that reflecting tool of the light of Adonai so that it can go forth into the darkness and cause salvation for those who are lost in it. We build our lives as a building being built up by placing brick on top of brick. So when we're building the temple of Adonai, who we are, we do not lay down Torah on top of Torah on top of Torah. What we do is we lay down deed on deed or mitzvot on mitzvot to build upon. There is but one Torah. Torah is what we can think of as a blueprint to build by. But there are multiple mitzvot or actions to build with. We keep the Torah by the mitzvot, but we can't keep mitzvot by the Torah. There are those who want to think that they are just able to do good things, good deeds, and the deeds that they think that Adonai will accept them as sacrifices, and they'll get into heaven just by doing good things. They want to, but they cannot say, I've done good things, so God's going to be good to me. I mean, that's a lot of the world thinks that way, but it's just not true, unfortunately. And it's this kind of thinking that leads to the thought that Torah is no longer needed. If it's just good deeds that we need to do, we don't need Torah. In fact, people today are actually confused and don't think that Adonai would reject sacrifices made by them. And for some, that they don't even actually need to do sacrifices, or to do them as Adonai wants them to be done. As long as I'm good, what's the difference? As long as I do good, what's the difference? Look at Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, starting in verse 11. Listen to what it says. This is Adonai speaking. For what is it to me, the multitude of your sacrifices, said Adonai? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and fat, of fed animals. I have no delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or he goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand, trampling my courts, bring no more worthless offerings? Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Shabbat, the calling of convocations, I cannot endure it. Iniquity with solemn assembly. Stop mixing the two things together. The people were trying to build the bricks, but without looking or following a blueprint on how to build. So they were building something that was not acceptable to God. Therefore, God said, to stop bringing them until you're right with him. Didn't say ever, just stop. Stop until you're right. This is much different than when the Israelites were building the tabernacle and they were bringing too much and were told to stop. They had the blueprints then, the Torah, and the presence of Adonai, and they knew what to do and how to do it correctly. But in Isaiah's time, they didn't know. They didn't know what to do. Maybe they didn't even know why they were doing what they were doing. They had what they thought were the mitzvot, but they didn't have the Torah within them. And you want to see something similar today, in today's world? People will go to great lengths to love one another. Good people. They'll help to feed the poor, to clothe them. But it's really out of their own love and not the love for Adonai. And that's not to say that what they're doing is not good, but it lacks the Torah. Therefore, it may be good for now. It's not going to be good for their eternity. If they were working through the church and not getting everything right, Adonai would rather them stop and get their own house in order before bringing in anything else as a sacrifice. They think, but I'm making a sacrifice in my life. But you're not making the sacrifice for Adonai because you don't know the Torah. You don't know his instructions. They're holding a false lamp. That's their actions. But there's no light because the light is Torah. Excuse me. There's no light coming out of that lamp because there's no Torah. There's no Adonai in the lamp. Yeshua says that the Torah scholars and Pharisees are in the same place. Listen to what Yeshua says to them about their actions versus Torah in Matthew. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones, and everything unclean. In the same way, you appear righteous to men on the outside, but are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. The outside, the deeds, they look like they're doing great things. But inside, they're not following Torah, the instructions of Adonai, as Adonai had intended them to. Since they're only following the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law, they're dead on the inside, which makes them spiritually unclean on the inside and the outside. The actions do not dictate if you're clean or if you're following Adonai, but it is the inside, the heart attitude that will determine the acceptance of what you're bringing to Adonai. In Jeremiah 9, we're giving this warning. Jeremiah 9:24. Days are coming soon, declares Adonai, when I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon's children, and Moab, and all that have cut the corners of their hair, that dwell in the wilderness. For all the nations are uncircumcised, but all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in their heart. Remember, circumcision is a sign of the covenant, which we read in Genesis 17. Genesis 17:10-11 says this: "This is my covenant you must keep between me and you and your seed after you. All your males must be circumcised. You must be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and this will become a sign of the covenant between me and you." Do you know how hard it is to do this without doing this? Very tough. Here we're told that a circumcision was to be done in the flesh in 8 days. But was that the only circumcision that we know of? At 8 days, it's the only one that could be done at that time. But by growing up in the Torah, the circumcision also becomes of the heart. The parent can do a heart circumcision by hand, but the Ruach does it by spirit. So when Jeremiah says that they were circumcised yet an uncircumcised people, what does that mean? It means that the flesh or the actions may be right, but the heart attitude has not followed Torah, the instructions. The heart has not been trained in Torah. Perhaps the flesh knows of the mitzvot, but the heart does not have the Torah written upon it. They act because of instructions, but not by the desires to follow the Torah. The warning is to become not just circumcised, but also circumcise the flesh and the heart. You know, the one of the flesh is easy, especially at 8 days old. You hardly know what's going on. But the one of the heart is so much harder because it means making decisions that are right and righteous to follow Him. It means fighting the flesh. It means putting aside what you want and doing what the instructions of the Torah and the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, say. This is what James is instructing us in the book of James. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he looks at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets the sort of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he shall be blessed in what he does. James tells us that we are not to look into the mirror and see what's wrong, meaning to study the word and see what we're doing wrong, where our shortfalls is, then turn and forget what we just saw. Once we see our own shortcomings, then we're to put into practice the things that we learned in Torah, to change, to become closer to His image. Do the mitzvot and not just hear the Torah. This is not a call to forget the Torah and just to do works, but it's the opposite. It's funny. Satan tries to twist the words, to turn them around all the time in the world. We are not to allow that to happen, though, in our lives. And we must speak out when we see it in the world, trying to save those, bring them into the light as well. Listen to how James goes on to press the point in the next chapter. James 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brother and sisters, if someone says he has faith, does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in shalom, keep warm and well fed, but you do not give them what the body needs, what good is that? So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. He's speaking about the differences of Torah and mitzvot. So let's put in what he's saying, where it says Torah and where it says mitzvot. Look what it says now. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has Torah but does not have mitzvot? Can such Torah save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in shalom, keep warm and well fed, but you do not give them what the body needs, what good is that? So also Torah, if it does not have mitzvot, is dead by itself. Two things, Torah and mitzvot. The word of James is a call to the Torah and the mitzvot. Not to neglect one or the other, or worse, neglecting both. We must do Torah and the mitzvot. We must continue to study and learn the Torah, which tells us to do the mitzvot, which are written in the Torah. For those who want to say Torah is dead, James would rise up right now and say, did you not just listen to what I said? He in no way wants to say Torah is dead. He's saying Torah is alive and must be on your heart. Mitzvot are the way you live out the Torah in your heart. Don't forsake either one. And so we must not forsake doing good or knowing his law. Doing what's righteous and knowing what his word says from Genesis to Revelation. That's what we're called to. Father, we thank you that we are called by you to do right and to live out your word and to know it. How can we live it out if we don't know it? Just good deeds of our own will not work. Cain thought he could bring his very best, but they did not line up with Torah. He knew he had to have known what they what was right at the time, but he thought he could do better. He thought he knew better. Ruach, help us from ever becoming the one who thinks we know better than your word. Help us to stay on your track, on your path. Help us to be who you want us to be. Help us to know Torah and help us to live out Torah. We thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.